So you can just bring them up and we'll fix that. So which muscle acts as a spinal stabilizer during the performance of a push-up?
Serratus.
Okay. Transverse abdominis. Okay, so spinal stabilizer. So the serratus anterior is a what? Does what for the what?
Pulls the scapula forward.
Right, so the scapula is, in this question here, is different than the spine. So they're trying to trying to find the muscle that acts as a spinal stabilizer. So rhomboids, that acts as a scapula retraction. Pectoralis minor, what does the pectoralis minor do?
Lower chest, right?
Was it assist in? Humeral A. Humeral what?
Adduction.
Adduction. Okay. Pectoralis minor. Okay, the muscle indicated by the arrow, most of us got that right, the biceps. Okay?
Right.
The main.
Mostly answer is 12.
What's that?
Foot 12.
What is that?
Transverse abdominis. Did you get that right and I corrected it?
No, I got it wrong. I'm still going to be good.
Oh. I have to talk about that. The main action of the muscle indicated by the arrow is ankle dorsiflexion.
Right.
So what muscle is that?
Biceps.
Tibial thingy.
Fibula what?
You skipped 13.
We went over.
You did 13.
Did you?
Oh.
You're focused.
Yeah, sorry.
Love it.
So ankle dorsiflexion. Okay, is the fibularis anterior. The muscle indicated by the arrow lies between the mid fibers of the trap and causes scapular retraction.
Rhomboids.
Talked about that a lot, rhomboids major. And that seems to be a question that comes up a lot in many of, I've looked at a lot of their practice exams, so I've kind of taken a lot of those questions and put them on here. So this is what you might be actually seeing in a similar setting. So which of the following training techniques will most likely cause the greatest caloric expenditure from excess post-exercise consumption, EPOC, following 1 hour exercise bout? So interval aerobic training in the carbohydrate zone. Has anybody ever heard of EPOC?
Nope.
What does that mean?
Excess post-oxygen consumption.
Okay, and what does that mean in reference to exercise?
Just like whenever you're done, whenever you get off the treadmill, your brain is gonna
increase metabolism.
Okay, so after you're running for a long period of time, your body, when you stop, what does your body think it has to keep doing?
Increase metabolism. Gain oxygen.
It still has to make up that oxygen. Your body's still working. So if I go to the gym and I work out for, you know, a couple hours or whatever and I come back in, why am I still sweating? Why don't I want to wear a jacket?
Increase metabolism.
Because my body is still using energy. It's still working. It's still trying to make up that oxygen that I used up, and so that's called EPOC. Okay, so you need something that's a little bit more vigorous than yoga, a one rep max in weight training. That would only change your ATP and CP sources. Steady state aerobic training in the fat burning zone. Why isn't it that?
It uses ketones and doesn't really cause much of an effect outside of burning fat as an energy source because the ratio between carbohydrate to fat metabolism is higher.
Okay, how can you break that down a little bit more simply?
You're not working out hard enough.
Right, you're not working out hard enough. You're not using enough oxygen because you're in a slow state. Okay. Completing the 3 minutes of moderate intensity exercise would be useful primarily from which metabolic pathway?
Anaerobic metabolism.
Okay. So aerobic metabolism of proteins? No? Okay. Why is it no for proteins? What was that?
You don't metabolize proteins for energy unless you're about to die.
Okay. Yeah. Your body's not using proteins. What does your body use first and foremost? And I'm about to throw a pitch, a baseball pitch.
Pyruvate.
What energy source am I using?
ATP.
Okay. What's another exercise that is just ATP?
A sprint.
Jumping.
Okay. Vertical test.
Yeah.
So you're testing ATP. Okay. That is your first and foremost. What is after about 3 seconds?
Creatine.
Okay. So what exercise would be using the creatine process? Creatine phosphate.
40.
Like a 3-rep max test. Okay. 3-rep, 4-rep. Okay. Something that takes about 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds, whatever. Now, what if you go over 3 minutes? What do you start burning into?
Carbs.
Okay. So up to 3 minutes, you're using carbs. Okay. And then once you hit and go after or over 3 minutes, what happens? You start getting into your fat source. Okay. Now, if you are highly trained, okay, does anyone know what lactate threshold is or lactate? What is lactate? What is it?
It's what builds up from the use of just using your muscles. It builds up over time.
Okay. Now, what if I have a very low lactate threshold? What does that mean?
Your body can't move that out of your muscles.
Okay. Most of your clients that you're going to meet are going to have a low lactate threshold. What does that mean? That if you get them on the treadmill going, say, 6-7 miles per hour, they're going to fatigue real fast. Or if you put a high-end athlete on that treadmill, they'll be fine. They won't hit that lactate threshold until you bump up that treadmill to like 8, 9, 10 for a long, sustained time. So who's the famous? Lance Armstrong. One of the races he went through, he skipped his load up station, and he ended up losing that race. Why?
It's a load up.
Load up station is when you get carb replacement. So you go to these stations every 4 hours, you get your carbs, you get your energy, and you keep going. So obviously he ran out of energy. So he started to go into his fat stores, and he didn't have enough sugar to get him through the rest of the race, which can also play a factor in his lactate threshold.
Do you think there's any way he could have won that without the carbs? Like, if he would have just, like...
Mentally?
Yeah.
Yeah, your body just shuts down without the carbs.
Like,
so...
He also cheating.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't matter, he had all the taken away.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Lost all those trophies.
Right, I mean, he lost all that. But he was kind of the person that was, like, leading all that. Illegal ways, exactly.
Was it cheating
though,
because
he only
had one test to only play? What's that? Was it cheating, or was he evening the playing field back again because of his whole situation with testicular cancer?
He was cheating.
He's cheating, but how many other people were probably cheating too?
Oh, everybody.
And there are a lot.
You know, and how many people, I mean, like Barry Bonds and McGuire, these guys that have to go face all these judges and trials, like, even though like all their, like half of their teammates are doing it, but they kind of pinpoint Lance Armstrong, they pinpoint these guys and make them a subject, and that helps kind of limit it, but it also makes it easier for the people that are winning. So I don't know if it actually works out in the end, you know what I mean? Because I feel like it limits people from taking anything. But then the people that are secretly doing it are doing it in shady ways. If they're doing it, they're gonna have a advantage, right? And so you're gonna widen that gap almost.
I heard the Buffalo Bills, like they're like the culprits of doing it on the low.
Oh really? Uh-oh. Oh really?
Uh-oh.
What'd you
get?
It's
obviously not working for them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not. Yeah. I don't think the Bills are. Maybe they're the only natural team.
Yeah.
Yes, Jordan.
I was going to ask you, how do you feel about using steroids in high-level athletic events like the Olympics? Do you feel like they should be legalized?
I think that's a personal decision based on the athlete and their goals. And like, if they have this carrot in front of them, and their trainer's like, well, you're not going to get that carrot unless you do this. And the client says, well, I'm willing to risk my health for this trophy or for first. What's that?
Just legalize it. Let them do it. I mean, we're trying to see people run as fast as possible.
I mean, it has to be one or the other. I don't like the way it is. It's either everyone is okay to do it or everyone isn't. I don't make the rules and officiate everything. But if I was gonna have drug tests, I would have every player do it like once every other week. Like I would make it like really bad, like really standardized, like super scrutiny. Like, you know, make them, you know, I don't know. I don't know how you can make.
I think how you can make. You know Professor C, right?
Who?
Professor C.
Yeah.
I asked him the same question, and he just told me that they should just do an all steroid Olympics.
Yes.
Yeah.
A separate one.
I mean, you got to have it one way or the other way. You know, I'll let them decide. I don't care what. I mean, obviously, both would be good. Like one would be the setting where you're just watching freak athletes, and then it just gets to a different level. And then it would be nice to appreciate people that kind of go that route. But then it's like, are they really though? So, you know, I mean, are they really though? Are they getting through those tests? Like, are they outwitting the scientists that are testing them? And then it comes down to just everyone just trying to outwit each other. It's so ridiculous. I mean, modern day competition, for all the money that it's worth, is just the most... It's like this super, super corrupt system. And I mean, a lot of people that make all that money, they come out, and most of, I don't know what the percentage is, but a lot of them go bankrupt and broke. A lot of professional athletes, I mean, you risk your whole life, your health and everything to make these millions of dollars, and your career is over when you're 30 years old, 28 years old, because you've had, you know, too many concussions or too many ACL tears, UCL tears, like you get washed up. You know, you don't like take advantage of maybe the advice that the professional teams give you. You don't get any mentorship, or you just go to Vegas and you just go gambling. Like, I mean, it doesn't make you a superstar to be a superstar. It just puts you in a very, very, very like prestige, you know, position that if you don't like take advantage of it when your time is going on, then, you know, it could be the end of you. You know. It's a tough place to kind of be in professional sports. Growth hormone. Oh wait, so completing 3 minutes of moderate intensity exercise would use fuel primarily from which metabolic pathway? We got that one. Anaerobic metabolism of carbohydrates. Okay, so if you were metabolizing lipids, that would be over 3 minutes. Aerobic metabolism of proteins, that would be a long time, right? You're not getting into proteins for a long time. Anaerobic metabolism of creatine phosphate, that's about 5 to 10 seconds. Okay, that's when that kicks in. And then aerobic metabolism would be over 3. And then anaerobic metabolism of carbohydrates, that's up to 3. So you're probably going to do that for 100, for like what would be a less than 3 minute, or what would be a 3 minute activity that you think might use the anaerobic metabolism process of carbs. Up to 3 minutes. Would be an activity that you could do up to 3 minutes or over 3 minutes. Burpees. You could do burpees, yeah. 2.5 minutes. That would be using sugar, carbs, right? Growth hormone is excreted by which of the following endocrine glands? Anterior pituitary. We just go... Okay, and anterior pituitary. Okay, let's see here. Let's see if I can find that one. Is that the same one? Sure where that one is. I think I sent this out. Let's see here. Let me just try to find something real quick. I don't think I'm gonna find it. All right, so where does... What does pancreas secrete?
Insulin.
Okay. What does testosterone do?
What doesn't it do?
Stimulates growth, okay? The production of which of the following anabolic hormones is reduced in the response to an acute bout of resistance training?
Growth hormone.
Okay, so that's going to be growth hormone. And that was one I was looking in the chapters for, and I just wanted to go over real quick because that's part of the endocrine system. And I just want to go over that real quick. All right, so the effects of hypertrophy, okay? So resistance training stimulates growth hormone and IGF. Then it goes into your thyroxine and cortisol levels. Then it starts to decrease insulin, increase epinephrine, and then it starts to increase testosterone. So when the training stress is modified so that the volume is 3 to 4 sets, the resistance is moderately heavy, 70 to 85% of one rep max, and perform for longer durations, 8 to 12 repetitions, with short 1-minute rest periods, the serum concentration of growth hormone increased dramatically. Okay? So consider bodybuilding. The collective activity utilizes all the reactive stimuli for muscle growth. So lower repetition schemes with heavy weight do not stimulate the body in the same manner, so less hypertrophy is experienced. Two notable factors to consider with hypertrophy training are blood lactate and cortisol levels. Although both products are considered detrimental to muscle protein in their respective activity, there is a definite link between the stress that causes their presence and the response of the pituitary gland. I'm just going to go over one more paragraph. It is suggested that the body manages cortisol activity differently in high-demand resistant stress environments compared to other stress stimuli, by blunting its negativity effects. So high productions of lactic acid with the concurrent cortisol released by the adrenal glands in response to high intensity, extended time under tension exercise stimulate greater growth hormone release. So the higher concentrations of growth hormone release in response to training stimulates IGF-1 released from the liver, adding to the anabolic effects. Since high volume, short rest periods stimulate both cortisol release and higher concentration of lactic acid in the blood, but heavy resistant training with low repetition schemes and long rest periods does not. It explains why the heavy strength training causes far less effect on growth hormone and hypertrophy compared to the bodybuilding approach. The most common errors in bodybuilding or activities aimed in hypertrophy are lifting too light, not properly applying high volume, isolative overload, and taking too long a rest period between sets and exercises, all of which consequently reduce the magnitude of the hormonal response. So, in other words, if you're trying to gain, like if you're actually trying to gain muscle, then you can't rest for more than a minute. You shouldn't be resting longer, and you should be going a little bit heavier. You should be going for about 8 to 12 repetitions. Okay, now, a power lifter might not necessarily want to gain muscle size. They might want to gain what?
Central nervous system adaptation.
Power, right? Power. And how do you gain power?
Central nervous system. Heavy weight, 3 to 5 reps.
Okay, it's a lot. Now, they're not concentrating on growing muscle because they're not bodybuilding. So your client might have a power goal. You might have a client that just wants to their appearance to, you know, my brother, for instance. He's had a disability, and he's been in literally sitting and laying on his back for like a year because he has a gastrointestinal disorder. And so he has Crohn's disease, and he's actually had a colonoscopy. Does anybody know where that is? So that's when they take a bag and he can't excrete waste. It goes into a bag because his intestines are that inflamed and that ridden with like bacteria and all these things that are going on because of his disease. And so he goes on to these medications. They give him abscesses. Abscesses cause him to take certain medications. Those medications give him blood clots. So all these things kind of work together, and so that he's sedentary. And so when you work with a sedentary person, one, their testosterone levels are going to be really low. Their growth hormone isn't gonna just be as cute as a person that works out all the time. And so you have to think about people that, you know, might not be moving that much. And so how do you get them back into a program? Well, you got to find out what their goals are. And maybe his goal, he's like, oh, I want to get bigger muscles. You know, so if that's his goal and that's going to get him to work out because he wants to see some type of hypertrophy, then that's the system that you might want to train in. But let's just say he did want to get into power. Would I get him into power right away?
No,
not at all. His core is probably not ready for that. He can barely squat and get his hips back, you know, stuff like that. He's very stiff. So he's got to actually start from square one. So he actually got the bag reversed, and so he's actually starting a program with me, and you know, I'm tracking his macro and micronutrients. He's got to eat specific foods, otherwise it'll irritate his intestines. So he's on a very strict path, and if he doesn't follow that, he'll go back to that bag. So there's going to be some clients that have these very, very high needs, and you have to be very sensitive not to just put them under really heavy load or do that load with wrong form, or maybe you're not even looking at the prerequisites. So obviously I'd want to see if his spine is able to kind of be stable in certain positions. Just little things like that. It's important to know what type of training styles you're going to want to teach your clients. And we'll get into that in later chapters. So what rest interval is associated with the greatest anabolic hormone response to resistance training when the exercise is performed 8 to 12 repetitions using 70-80%, one rep max? We just went over that. It's 30 to 60 seconds. So going after 60 seconds, then your body stops working as hard. It doesn't think it needs to increase the growth hormone levels. Which of the following is the primary factor responsible for increase in muscle hypertrophy in response to resistance training?
Anabolic hormone.
So the hormones are produced. That's what's going to cause the actual growth of tissue. So yes, when you leave the gym or when you're working out, what is the first experience, a first painful experience caused by? Say you're running for 4 miles and you start feeling your muscles. What is that? What is that feeling you feel?
Lactic acid
buildup. Good. Okay. Now, the next day or 2 days later, is that still lactic acid?
Late onset muscle soreness.
Okay. That's muscle soreness caused by what? What is occurring at the cellular level when you work out?
You're tearing
it up. Micro tears are caused. You get sore because it's trying to rebuild. It's not because you're still trying to get over the lactate threshold there. Okay. The cellular organelle responsible for aerobic energy production is the mitochondria. Mighty produces energy. Sarcolemma is a cell membrane. Actin and myosin occur simultaneously and cause friction and force, but they don't produce energy. They cause the energy. They kind of like react with the energy. The sarcoplasmic reticulum, that's a calcium housing network. It's a tubular network. And that calcium initiates a muscle contraction by binding to troponin, okay? I have that. That should be in number 2 here. I think that's in there. Okay, so if you looked at this slide right here, just went over the calcium that attaches the tropomyosin to rotate, allowing myosin to bond to actin, creating cross-bridge attachment, okay? So calcium, you might not have known that, does play a role in muscle contraction. Creatine phosphate is a primary fuel used to create ATP during a 3-rep bench press, okay? What about glucose? What is glucose? Okay, glucose is sugar, produces energy. Okay. Now when would you start getting into glucose stores if I'm working out? How many seconds or minutes getting into glucose?
Sit past 3, right?
Okay. Past 3. Okay. Up to 3 and then past 3. After 3 you start getting into what?
Glycogen, anaerobic.
After three.
Cards?
Fat.
Aerobic. So you start.
Oh, you mean 3 minutes or 3 seconds?
3 minutes.
Okay.
Yes. Creatine phosphate is a primary fuel used to create ATP during 3-rep bench press. So, where do you get creatine phosphate from?
The food you eat and you make it yourself.
What types of foods have creatine phosphate?
Meat.
Okay, meat. Okay, meat has creatine phosphate. What will vegetarians not have?
Iron.
Related to this question.
Meat.
Creatine phosphate. So, they might have to supplement with creatine phosphate. I don't know, John, if you have any athletes like volley, like for instance, a sport that would use a creatine phosphate fuel would be volleyball, or a pitcher, or you know, a little bit of basketball players would get in there too. But those initial quick bursts of movement, say in tennis, going laterally side to side after rest, you're using creatine phosphate. So if you're a vegetarian, you're not going to have the amount of power that somebody has with creatine phosphate. Okay, pyruvate, that's just an energy substrate that comes from both or all three fats, proteins, and carbs. Blank is slash are used to make ATP anaerobically during high intensity exercise, making it a key dietary fuel source for activity. What is the number answer for 24?
Carbs.
Okay, carbs are used to make ATP during high intensity exercise. So you're primarily using sugar, right? We talk about sugar. You're using sugar in most exercises that you perform. As soon as you run out of sugar, you start getting into what? Your what stores?
Fat.
Your fat stores. And then the last store you get into would be protein. What? How much energy do vitamins give you?
None.
Good. What about water?
None. Unless you're like eating, there's like little particles.
Yeah, there's only three things that give you energy. Carbs, fats,
alcohol.
And protein, in that order.
Alcohol.
Okay, so, alcohol?
Seven kilocalories per gram, but it's absorbed in your stomach.
You can't burn calories with alcohol.
No, it's stored though.
Right, you can't burn as well. Okay, which of the following minerals play a role in cellular fluid balance and affect risk of dehydration during exercise?
Oh.
These ingredients you should probably see in Gatorade, right? Okay, all of the above, all those are used in the cellular level. Although the energy systems are used to various extents, intense activities that last 30 to 45 seconds will predominantly rely on blank for energy production. Okay, that's anaerobic glycolysis. Glycolysis is the breakdown of sugars. Okay, which of the following may cause inhibition to muscle cell contractility during physical activity? That's lactic acid. So the lactic acid causes muscle inhibition. Okay, during physical activity. Okay, so you want to try to raise your lactate threshold. Can you raise your VO2 max as well as you can raise your lactate threshold?
Yeah.
Can't, okay? Your VO2 max is determined genetically. It can raise, but it can't raise as much as your lactate threshold. So you can train your lactate threshold better than you can train your VO2 max. Your VO2 max isn't gonna train drastically, but your lactate threshold can, okay? So you can train right before your lactate threshold, so you can figure out what your VO2 max is, and figure out when you hit your lactate threshold. Say, let's just say you're running at 130 beats per minute. Let's just say it gets to 135, and I'm starting to reach my lactate threshold. So I might train at 130, 131, 132, 133, and kind of wait and wait and wait and train right below that threshold, and then eventually you'll start rising, okay? Which of the following, or draw the human skeleton, this was fun. I'm actually going to probably take pictures of them all. And
I knew you would, man.
There's some really good ones. Okay.
I said it was cruel when I gave you that.
What are the four muscles of the rotator? Okay, so bone on the inside of the lower forearm.
Inside?
Ulna. Ulna.
Yeah,
lower leg.
Tibia.
Inside. Tibia. Outside arm.
Radius.
Lower arm.
Radius.
Okay, lower limb.
Fibula.
Okay, Tibia, fibula, good. And then what's the bone called in your upper arm? What's your bone called in your...
Femur.
Good, okay, good. Rib cage. All right, what are the four muscles of the rotator cuff?
Supraspinatus.
Okay, subscapularis, supraspinatus, teres minor, infraspinatus. What does the teres major do? And this isn't related to 30, but kind of. What does the teres major do?
Arm adduction.
Good, good. So what muscle is primarily responsible for humeral adduction? Latissimus dorsi. So when you see someone do a pullover, they're adducting their arms. So you're like, oh, I'm doing wide lat pull downs, right? Wide lat, I'm trying to get my lats really wide. So you do lat pull downs, right? So you're all you're doing is just adducting your humerus. You're adducting your humerus, right? You're putting your humerus back into its anatomical position. So that's why it's called adduction, okay? Abduction, adduction. Lat pull down, adduction. What helps with your lat pull down? What other muscle?
Deltoid.
What other muscle helps with the humeral adduction?
Serratus.
Teres major. Teres good. Major. So that's the difference between teres major and minor. So your teres major, a little bit lower, it's not in the rotator cuff, and it's right next to the lat, right underneath, kind of in between there by the scapula, and so that's responsible for adduction. So it's a little bit different. Not a lot of people go over the difference between teres major and teres minor, but they like to sneak those little sneaky questions on the test. That's why I put it on there. Well, that's why it's down there.
Teres major is larger, but it's below teres minor.
Right. Okay. It is bigger. Major. Yep. Major usually means bigger.
But it's below at the same time.
I thought the major is right here. Or is that the minor's right here?
So if you stand up, you come over here. So here's your scapula, right? So your teres minor would be right here. Your teres major would be right here.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's kind of like next to your lat.
Yeah, yeah. And so it kind of supports and does what your lat does, humeral adducts. It helps with that. Okay, protraction of the scapula. What muscle on the anterior upper body helps with that?
Serratus.
Okay. What else? Serratus anterior, good.
Pec minor.
Pec minor, good. Okay. What's the agonist muscle when I'm doing a push-up?
Pec major.
Okay, pec major, pectoralis major. What's the antagonist muscle of a push-up?
Felix Rhomboid.
Okay.
Lats.
What's that?
Lats.
Latissimus dorsi, good. So that would be the opposite, okay? All right, so I'm going to kind of just stop there, and let's just go ahead and stand up. Go ahead and stand up. All right, let's work on our scapula. We're going to do a couple different type of scapula cars. Cars are what? What are cars?
Cars, something you drive.
Control articular rotation. So we're controlling the articulations of the joint. So go ahead. Now, we want to keep your middle finger at the inseam of the lateral side of the quad there. Okay. So we don't want the fingers to go off our legs. What we're going to do is we're going to protract, elevate. Try not to jet your head forward. Okay. Retract. And then depress all the way down. Try to keep your finger, that middle finger, in the same spot. All you're moving is your scapula. So protract, elevate. Okay, retract, depress. Now go 1 mph, go on your own. Okay, now just try to keep your whole body tight as well.
I like that saying.
Nice and control. What's that?
I like that saying, 1 mph.
1 mph. Slow as you can. All the way around. So down, forward, up and back. Let's go the other way. Up, forward, down, back, up, forward.
Kind of like arm circles without putting your arms.
This is scapula circles. So all we're doing is protracting, elevating, retracting, depression of the scapula. We're not doing anything else. So if your arm is going out like this, if your arm's going out like this, you're abducting your shoulder. So you're not, you don't have control of your scapula, is what I'm trying to tell you. So if you, the more control you have, the easier this is going to be for you. All right, now go ahead and just bring your right arm out front. Both arms out front. Squeeze your fists. Now just your right arm, protract, elevate, retract, depress, protract, elevate, retract, depress. Let's go the other way. Retract, elevate, protract, depress, retract, elevate, protract, depress. Get the other side, okay? Elevate, retract, depress, protract. Elevate, retract, depress, protract. Go, keep going. Just try to make them nice, smooth circles without jetting your head forward. Okay, let's go the other way. Really try to control just your scapula here. Good. Now we're going to bring our arms out, abduct our shoulders. We're going to try the scapula rotations while our arms are abducted. So try to get your hands in line with your shoulders. We're going to protract. This is a little bit harder. Elevate, retract, depress. Go at your own pace. So the harder you go, the uglier your face will look. I promise you. And then the easier you go, the easier it looks. So the harder you go, the harder it is. So let's go the other way. Go the other way. Keep going. Keep going. Try to straighten your arms all the way out. Really concentrate on that circle. Close your eyes. All right, relax. Okay, now we're going to go into the wall. Same thing. Push into the wall. Try that. So try that. Same circles in the wall now. Try the same circles. So you need to work on the retraction. You got good retraction, protraction. Good. Wayne's got good control here. Good control.
My shoulders.
Retraction, Caitlin. Looks a little tight too, Caroline. Your retraction. All right. And relax. All right. That's gonna be it for today. Let me just make sure we're here on Thursday. Yeah, just
say right,
just
right.
Yeah, or put it on the front page. Yes, please. Today's Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh.
Really? You didn't.
Jeez.
You think it was Tuesday?
Yeah. Week flew by.
It's Valentine's Day.
I know.
I've been trying to prepare for this to make up for mistakes.
All right, so everybody, on the 19th, we have Josh V here. He's a powerlifter coach. And then I'm going to give you your information on the oral presentation assignment, okay? Well, you are all dismissed. Go ahead and turn in your quizzes, please.
For number 18, you said it was anterior pituitary.
Okay, I'll make sure I fix that.
No worries. Thank you.
Oh, you want a higher grade?
I know, geez.
What do you want?
She's going.
What do you want?
Well, then I have to put the, then I put the scale down for everybody.
Okay, no, right, don't do that. I feel bad.
What do you want with 37?
Because the scale goes down for everybody. Yours goes down.
As long as I know I'm right.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
110 isn't good enough for you. 111.
Yeah. The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.